We thank God for you. Amen. So we're the bride, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. So he's a great God, isn't he? And I'm glad to serve him. All right, in the book of Deuteronomy now, we'll start with chapter 1. Chapter 1 to start with. I want to take a little thought tonight, possessing what he gives us and leaving the rest alone. Or taking what he gives us and leaving the rest alone, and know what to take and know what to leave alone. We're going to take what God gave us. Amen. He gave us a New Testament ministry, a New Testament church, a New Testament gospel. Amen. And he gives the bride a message. He gives the bride a fivefold ministry. Amen. To lead her to perfection. And he's definitely doing that. Before reading, let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy upon us, God. We just thank you, Lord, for this an opportunity to bear witness of your word once again, Lord. And God, we just thank you for giving us a safe journey over and for blessing us and giving us rest and just helping us to be able to stand here. And now, God, we just pray as you anoint us to minister word, also anoint the people to receive. Give each one ears to hear, Father, and we'll be careful to praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we're reading in the book of Deuteronomy. I want to start in verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21. And what Moses is referring to is where God sent the children of Israel up to possess the land, but they didn't possess the first time they tried, see. So he's telling them what happened there and why. And we'll pick the story up in verse 21. Chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." He's telling the promise that God gave him originally. "And you came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will send men before us, and they shall search out the land and bring us word again by what way we must go up and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well." Moses had told them what they said, and he agreed with it. But this is 40 years later now. They're about to go take it again. "And they turned and went into the mountain and came into the valley of Eshcol and searched it out. And they took the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us and brought us word again and said, It is a good land which the Lord our God does giveth us." Now, I want you to notice there's no disagreement on that. It's a good land that the Lord thy God giveth us. And I think that there's no disagreement with that among any of us. God has given us some good promises, haven't he? Amen. Amen. Promised to wash us by the water of the word. Promised to build us up into the perfect stature of the man Christ Jesus. He promised to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask or even think according to his riches of glory. And he just gave us so many good promises. So Moses telling there what the children of Israel said. They admitted it's a good land, see. And when they went up, they brought back the fruit, see. But then there was a hindrance why they didn't go up. Amen. So we'll read about that, and we'll see how God dealt with them. All right, verse 26 says, "Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you muttered in your tents and said, Behold, the Lord hated us. He has brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Whither shall we go up? Our brothers have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to the heaven. And moreover, we have seen the son of Anakim there, which were giants. Then said I unto you, dread not. Here's Moses' encouragement to him originally. I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness, where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bare thee, as a man does bear his son, in all the ways that ye went until ye came to this place. Now, I'll read some more in the other chapter in just a moment. But I want to compare this with the church ages here a little bit. Amen. God promised, even in the days of Paul, that there would be a rapture. In the 7th chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul spoke the coming of the Lord's at hand. Peter also spoke the coming of the Lord's at hand. And that they were expecting it. And Paul, when he spoke of the translation, said, we which are alive and remain till the coming of the Lord shall not hinder those that have fallen asleep, but they'll be raised first and will be changed. See, the promise laid right there. They were ready to go in the land, but something happened. See? Amen. We'll find in 2 Corinthians, that 11th chapter, or 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, where Paul spoke, says, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his scepter, I fear lest you be removed from the simplicity of the gospel. See? Amen. And we find God promised to take them into the land, but when they rebel, God let the promise go to the children, see? Amen. In that first church age, it was promised that they would go into the land, they would reach translation. God promised them a fivefold ministry. Amen. But they didn't do it because they failed to believe God, failed to go on with God, and God sent them into a wilderness journey. And it lasted for 7 church ages. Amen. But in the book of the Songs of Solomon, we find him saying, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Amen. So we're coming out of the wilderness. We are now to possess the promise that God promised unto the children of Israel. Amen. So what happened, the things that God promised in the Word of God, that the church would be of one mind, one accord, all speak the same thing, be no division among, washed by the water of the Word, and reach the full stature of the man Christ Jesus, we find they didn't do it. Amen. And the promise was taken from them and given to the children here at the end time, because God's going to have a rapture. God's going to have a church. Amen. We find in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, when God spoke of the church of Ephesus, he said, thou art fallen from thy first love. And he told them, repent. And we find that when they failed, then the promise of God was made of none effect to them. Amen. And just like the children of Israel, once they realized what they'd done, they said, maybe we ought to go up and take the land. You know, when they saw that God was, that they'd really messed up, then they tried to do it on their own and they failed. And the church has tried to do it on their own all the way through and they've failed.
Amen.
Amen. But we find in the Word of God that he's coming back in the last days.
Amen.
In a great spiritual angelical form. Amen. And fulfill the Word and make it live. Amen. And the promises that was left for the early church will be fulfilled.
Yeah.
The church will come to perfection. There will be a rapture. Amen. And we have been coming out of the wilderness. Amen. Now notice the children of Israel, God would not fulfill his promise. Amen. And did you know that when Christ left here, he put the church under the same law he was under? He said, these works that I do and greater works shall you do because I go to the Father.
Yes.
These things you see me do, you go do the same thing.
Yeah.
And brought all those great promises and told them how they would speak the same thing. Put the 9 gifts in the church. Amen. And the set of ministry in there that would have led the church to perfection. Amen. But we find in the book of Matthew in the 13th chapter that it's related there of 7 parables And it's commonly thought that those parables would correspond with the seven church ages. And the same thing happened there as happened with Israel. Because when the parable was spoken, it's spoken of a man that went forth to sow seed. And he only sowed good seed to begin with. No evil seed, it was good seed, and good seed will bring forth a good harvest. Without exception. It'll bring forth a good harvest, it'll bring forth perfection, it'll bring forth all that it's supposed to bring forth. But when the seed was sown, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and they began to grow.
Yeah.
Amen. And the total promise of God was taken off them. Amen. They couldn't fulfill the promise of God to go in and possess the land, to go into that perfection, because in the kingdom of heaven, which is the church ages, the kingdom of God's within you. Amen. And but within the kingdom of heaven, they begin to grow wheat and tares, and the church is to be clean, be one, be a body, all speaking the same thing, all seeing the same thing, all saying the same thing. But then I want you to watch. Amen. When the servants saw in the parable those tares growing in among the wheat, they said, "Shall we go and remove the tares from among the wheat?" Now watch the law of God. Amen. God wouldn't let them do it. God wouldn't let them do it. They had grown together for 2,000 years, and God said, "Let them grow together until harvest."
Amen.
Just like God told the children of Israel through Moses, "Don't go up now. You've already messed up. You can't go up and take the land." They said, "We're going to do it anyway." And they went up, and they ran from the enemies like ran from bees. Say, amen. It had to be God's time. When they messed up, they broke the promise of God, they couldn't go in. But they ultimately did take the land with a great victory. They did come out of the wilderness that they went into. Amen. All the promise of God was fulfilled. God did take them into the land. Amen. And the children did inherit the promise that was made to the father. And I believe the children of this end time, hallelujah, that have been restored back to the faith of the Father, will possess the promises that was made to the Father, that the Father failed to believe God and go in.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. I'm beginning to feel the wheel in the middle of the wheel here. Praise the Lord. Amen. So there are certain things that God has promised us that we can have, and certain other things he tells us we can't have.
Right.
And we want to know what we can have and what we can't have.
Yeah.
Amen. And we find a lot in the religious world today. And for instance, take a lot in the realm of deliverance, evangelists and religion as a whole out here, and that where the big meetings are taking place and all that. They have some things. Amen. And what they got is theirs. Amen. And we don't try to take what they got. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing, praise God, we've got some promises of God that they don't have.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The land is ours.
Amen.
The promise of God's ours. He's promised to wash us by the water of the Word. And He's promised that all the spots will be taken out of our garments.
Amen.
He promised that all the wrinkles and spots and all that will be gone. Amen. And we'll be united to Him. And He spoke of it as a husband and wife being united together. Amen. That they become one flesh. He said, "This is a great mystery, but I speak of Christ and the church." Hallelujah. So we become the wife of Christ. And that's what we're looking at in the Word of God. There are some people has their place in the Word. And I'm going to show you here that God gave Israel Canaan land. But I gave Esau some land here. He said, "I'm not going to give you a foot of Esau's land." And said, "If your cattle eat any grass and so on, different things, if you drink any water, pay Esau for. If you eat any meat, pay him for. Because I give that land to them, and I will not give you a foot of it."
Amen.
See, that's the thing. God gave us something.
Amen.
And what God gives us, we can claim it, lay hold on it, and He will grant it.
Yes.
Amen. But let's don't start asking for something that He gave somebody else.
Right.
Hallelujah. Amen. There's some big deliverance revivals going on. Amen. And some of the people are getting blessed, and no doubt some are being born again, and miracles are happening among them. But the only thing you got to do, if you get up and quote, tell them repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you know, they'll lose that anointing real quick. Amen. Amen. Because God haven't given them that.
Amen.
We read in the Word of God that there's a great number that is to come out of great tribulation.
Yeah.
And they are people that fail to come into this, and they can't. Esau couldn't have took the Canaan land. God didn't give it to Esau.
Amen.
The Moabites couldn't have went in and took Canaan land. God didn't give it to them, but He did give them something. And God told Israel, don't touch the land I give the Moabites.
Right.
That's theirs. I gave it to them.
Yeah.
I've given you this. You get your mind on this and go for this and this other. Let them worry about it.
Amen.
Amen. That's what we need to do on a lot of these things going on in the religious world today. We get careful and trouble and crumble about many things, how we ought to do this and what we should do about that. I tell you what we ought to do about it. We ought to just praise God that the name of Jesus Christ is preached. Amen. Whether it concerns us directly or not. Amen. Because God gave some land to other people besides Israel. Amen. And when He gave it to them, He wouldn't let Israel take it. Israel could have tried to take Esau's land and Israel had been defeated. And that's why happening to us sometimes. We're being defeated because we're trying to take something God hasn't given us.
Yeah.
Amen. If we only hold to the promise of God and take the land God gives us and stay with the promise of God, amen, He'll fight our battles for us. Hallelujah. And then that scripture will be fulfilled within us. We are more than conquerors. So my little thought tonight is taking what's ours, what's given to us. And that's that not ours, don't try to take it. Don't try to rob those people of their blessings and the things that God has given them because it belonged to them.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Israel, don't you try to rob Esau. Amen, because the blessings of God was on Esau. God blessed Esau. So Jacob was scared when he was coming back in the land one time, you know. And he said, let's send, give Esau a lot of cattle and a lot of things. Maybe we can appeal. Maybe he'll be. But Esau said, keep it. I don't need it. I've got all I need. The Lord has blessed me. Amen. And a lot of times these folks out here, they've got all they need. They're blessed in what they're doing and the way they're going. And we can't help it if someone's predestinated to do a certain thing, someone else not. Amen. God didn't call everybody to be preachers. Amen. But those He did, He will anoint and send forth and grant and deliver and give them a message and give them an anointing and make a way for the ministry of the Word of God to go forth.
Yeah.
Because God called them and God gave them that and God said to do it. But if someone else might say, well, hallelujah, I can do good as he can. I think I'll go preach. See? Well, did God send you? See, that's the question. If God sends you, He'll go with you.
Yeah.
If God gives you a gift, He will back that gift up.
Yeah.
If God gives you a place in His kingdom, amen, that you're secure in that place.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And He gives us peace like a river, joy like a fountain.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, reason we get trouble and frustrated about what's going on is we haven't got a good hold on what God has promised us. Because He has and will and is fulfilling every promise that He has made to us.
Amen.
You might say, well, brother, how did I see this one being blessed here and I'm not being blessed? Or this one got the word. Did He give you that?
Yes.
Amen. Paul, when he preached the gospel, one time he came to the church and he was telling about a lot of tribulation. He said, don't faint at my tribulation. See, he had tribulation. Things happened to him that the church did. He said, we're appointed unto death. It's appointed unto us death, but unto you lie. See, in other words, he had to go out and do some battling with the things. The church didn't even need to get all tore up and concerned. Because he said, faint not at my tribulation that has come upon me. So, we're looking at something today, a great promise of God, and we are definitely at the end time. I know many men have looked at the year 2000 or a few years after as the coming of the Lord, and of course I'm not being in dispute with them on that, but I don't know. Amen. I don't know what year, what day, what hour. But if I'm building a house, I'm going to keep on building. Huh? I know several years ago some folks was going to send their children to college. Said, well, Brother Howard, it isn't he used to because we're so close to the coming of the Lord. I said, you don't know that. You don't know that.
Amen.
If you can send your children to college and that's what's in your plan, that's what they want to do. And if the Lord comes, they'll be all right in college.
Amen.
Being in college ain't going to stop you. Someone asked me, a young man said, Brother Howard, can you live right in the Army? I said, live right wherever you're at. See? Amen. God's got some promises for us, hasn't he? All right, now the children of Israel, they didn't go in. See, the fathers didn't. And over in the book of Acts, the word of God speak that the promise that has been made to the fathers are fulfilled in the children. I believe it's Acts 13, 9. Amen. And the same thing here. Amen. God sent us a word, a message, to turn our hearts back to the original teaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. And when we're turned back to the original teaching of the Word of God, we're turned back to the original power of the Word of God. And we're turned back to the original promise of the Word of God. And the children of Israel, they did go in. Amen. But they had to go through a wilderness period first. So let's read here in Deuteronomy today when they refused to go in. I'll pick up a little bit more here. In chapter 2 it says, Moses telling about what happened here. Praise the Lord. Jimmy, could I have just a little water, please?
Oh, sorry. Is that a warm water?
No, it's not.
You want it cold or just
water? No, just tap water would be fine.
Yeah, just
tap water, yeah. Okay. Now let's see here when they refused to go in, here's Moses recounting what happened there. He's refreshing in the memory of the church, and that's what I'm doing. Now remember, this is 40 years later, they're fixing to go in the land, but before they went in, Moses reminded them all these things. See, and we're ready to go in, and I'm reminding you of these things, what happened in the early church, but they did possess the land. Here, so I'll read it. Moses are saying, then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, as the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Sarah many days. Amen. Now I want you to notice that. And we turned. Thank you, Jimmy. God bless you, brother. Amen. Now notice what they did. They turned and took their journey in the wilderness. And that's the only thing they could do. Amen. Now, during this journey wandering, which was 40 years, they could not take the land. There was no way they could take the land. They had to go through, they had to wander till all that old generation died off. But God promised them the land, and it didn't annul the promise. It just caused the promise not to be fulfilled in them. See, only Joshua and Caleb that were above 20 year old went in the land. God let them run the 40 years till that generation passed away because he was going to fulfill the word anyway. Praise God. Notice very careful now. So we took our journey into the wilderness. Now who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Leaning on the shoulder of her beloved. In the book of Psalms. Who is this that cometh, or Song of Solomon, I believe it. So, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? See, the church went in the wilderness, but she came out. Israel went into the wilderness for 40 years, but she came out. And she came out and she possessed the land. And Psalms of Solomon, which refers to the bride Lot, saw someone coming out of the wilderness. And when she came out again, she was leaning on the shoulder of her beloved. And that her beloved is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So God promised us some things. Amen. He's going to fulfill them. Amen. And there's nothing out of kilter in the sense other than the early church failed to go in. See, and God let it go through seven periods called seven church ages. And during that seven church age, the fivefold ministry were not activated as it's shown in Ephesians chapter 4. They had a message for each age, you know, a messenger. Amen. That was one man messenger for each age. And he usually had the leading message for that time period. And God blessed him, and it was a survival message. It typed out perfectly here in this Israel in the wilderness. While they were in the wilderness, they ate manna every day. On Sabbath day, it didn't fall. It fell enough they could gather up. But when they came back across Jordan, you know what the Bible says when they got to Jordan? Amen. The manna ceased to fall. And they ate the old corn land. Now manna would only last one day. It would breed worms. See, but the old corn, Brother Gann, it will last for thousands of years and still be potent. It'll still come up if it's put in the right soil. Amen. Showing that we're to get back to the book of Acts. It was said by the messenger of this age, if the church ever put forth another branch, there'll be another book of Acts written behind. Amen. In other words, the same power, the same blessing, the same Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I want to read a little bit here because of obtaining what God has given us. Show you God would not give them something that He didn't promise. So they went into the wilderness that cut the promise off. What happened when they tried to go in? They died. They were chased away by the bees because God done said, no, you can't go in now. You missed it. You had to wander for seven church ages. All right. I'm picking up verse 2. And the Lord spake unto me again, spake unto me, saying, you have compassed this mountain long enough, turn you northward. And command thou the people, saying, ye are to pass through the coast of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in S-E-I-R. What's that? Say that word, the mountain.
Seir.
Seir, you, okay. See, God give that to Esau, okay? See, you are to pass through the coast of your brother to the children of Esau, which dwells in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take good heed unto yourself, therefore. He's telling them what to do. Meddle not with them. Okay, I'm talking now about taking what God gives you and leaving the rest alone. Don't meddle with those folks. A lot of people, and it's so sad, me being a minister and striving to do what I can for the perfecting of the saints. When I go in some of the meetings, and basically what I hear is someone getting up, and basically instead of giving us a message, going with God, they're just meddling and condemning what this one doing, what that one doing, what that one doing, and they're not moving us one inch further. God said, don't meddle with them. See, God gave them something. Now, what God gave us, we can claim, we can possess, we can hold to, and God will grant it. Amen. But what God gave them, let them have that, see. Amen. So, God would not give Israel something here. He gave Esau a certain possession. Now, Esau was related to Jacob, a half-brother, you know, or a brother, rather, full brother. Amen. But he went and sold his birthright as far as the full blessing of God. But when Abraham blessed, you know, he did pronounce certain things for Esau. Amen. He was a kindred, see. Amen. Esau's seeds were a kindred to Israelites. Amen. And God gave them a place in the land of Israel. And they still got Israel better keep their hands off of what God gave Esau. The Moabites and some of them over there. Because God ain't going to give them the land. God gave the Canaan land, and they'll take every foot out of it. But Israel go over there and start messing around with something God didn't give them. They'll run like bees. They'll be defeated. Amen. And if we start dabbling around in something God didn't give us, we're in for a defeat. Amen. The church is to be victorious. The church is to be more than conquerors. Amen. We're to have possessed the full power of Pentecost. We're to have Christ in us, and we're to be the body of Christ. We're to be baptized by one Spirit into one body. Amen. And this body is to have the mind of Christ. Now, that's not necessarily mean everybody that's attached to Christianity will have the mind of Christ. It doesn't mean everybody attached to Christianity will be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. But God did give them some things. Amen. There in that book of Revelation there, in that seventh chapter, John saw a number which no man could number. Amen. Dressed in white robes. Glory to God. They had palms in their hands. They were praising God and all that. Amen. But then as you read further about those, these are they that came out of great tribulation. Amen. So don't meddle. God said don't meddle with these. Don't meddle with Esau. You're just going to get in trouble if you do, because I'm not going to give you Esau's land. Amen. Don't you meddle with the Trinity broadcast. Because God ain't going to give them their land. Not going to give you their land. You say, you think God gave the Trinity, I don't know, I guess you get Trinity broadcasted here. Well, see, a lot of times we'll watch something on there, and it's not right on the line. We want to get tore up or shook up about it. Amen. Leave them alone. God gave them that. God gave them the Trinity broadcast. And around the world, the name of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed in that realm. See? Amen. Not in the realm that we know it. Amen. Just like somebody said the other day, wanted to kind of get a little something with me. He says, you know, I was just baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, Brother Howard. I said, well, that's wonderful. I'm really glad. Praise the Lord, because that's the way I baptize. I always baptize all converts in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I said, well, God bless you. That's wonderful. Amen. But I baptize in the name, not using the word. And the name is the Lord Jesus Christ, see? Amen. But see, God said, don't meddle with them. Amen. So I said, that's wonderful. You know? And if they were baptized in the name, it would be wonderful. Of course, I knew they were baptized in titles, but I didn't want to, you know. Amen. Sometimes old Satan will try to guide you around, get a little argument started, to get a little controversial. Amen. That's when you leave it alone. Amen. You know where to draw the line. You know where to stand firm, you know. Amen. And that because you know that what God has promised you. If you don't know what God has promised you, then you could get shook up, you could get tore up, and you could get all out of shape. Amen. Because of what this one's doing, and because of what that one's doing, or because of what somebody said here, or because of what this church's doing. Amen. Leave them alone. Amen. Is that what Jesus said? Every plant the Heavenly Father didn't plant is going to be plucked up anyway. Amen. What we do is we feed the sheep. And sometimes us ministers, I think, we spend so much time fighting with goats that we forget to feed the sheep. Amen. God didn't say fight goats. He said feed sheep. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Meddle not with them, God said. Amen. Did he say meddle not with Esau? Esau's not going to get your land, but one thing for sure, you're not going to get his. Amen. The charismatics and whatever out here, they're not going to get your land. But neither are you going to get theirs. Because first place, you see over the hill and know what's beyond the emotional experiences they have. Amen. That there's a real promise that you're to be built up by the Word of God. Hallelujah. So as Israel went into the land here, amen, and allow me to read this one again. Verse 3, meddle not with them, for I will not give you their land, not so much as a foot of it, because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for possession. Amen. Did that tell us something? When God gives us, if God didn't give it to us, let's don't claim it. I know there's a saying, name it, claim it, and name it and claim it. Amen. Well, that's all right as long as you know what to name and what to claim.
Yeah. All right.
Amen. But Moses could claim Esau's land here, Joshua, or any of those could have. They would not have got it. How many say that? They would not have got it because God did not give it to them. But when they crossed over Jordan, and marched around and around that wall there, Jericho. Amen. Seven times blew the trumpets and all those things. The walls just fell of their own accord. Amen. And God gave them the land with a great victory. Praise God. Amen. There's where the secret of this thing lay. It ain't how what we figure out and what we don't figure out. And all like that. Amen. It's knowing what God's given us. And that's secure unto us. And what God did not give us, then let's don't keep reaching. Some people are reaching so much, they never get what they write. And it's not way up there. A lot of times it's right here. You know. But that's the nature of us humans, and it's good in one sense to be reaching forth, because we would get complacency. Before I came over here, I preached a message, and it was hitting me pretty hard. I preached a message on expanding our spiritual comfort zone. See, we get a comfort zone, and we're comfortable within that zone. And if we get out of that comfort zone, we got to start praying a little more. We got to start doing a little more, and so on. So sometimes we have to expand our comfort zone. Amen. And realize where our comfort zone's at. Amen. And so here, the promise of God is, Israel, you can have Canaan. Every foot of it, where Abraham put his foot. The promise is sure you can have it. But don't you dare. Don't you dare mess with Esau. Don't meddle with him. Don't argue with him. And so, that's where we're at today, folks. We're coming out of wilderness. And there's going to be religious things out here that you don't agree with. There's going to be religious things going on that you can see where they're missing the Word. See? Especially water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. If somebody take you to the pool and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and don't say the name, they're missing it. But should we fuss with them? No, it takes a revelation.
Yes.
Amen. I know some of the brethren, they get on the Godhead, and you know, we like to get everything so fine-tuned. Sometimes we get so fine-tuned, we get in the realm of mentality.
Right.
And it's not in the realm of mentality. Much of this is spiritually revealed.
Yes.
Jesus did not preach very many sermons on the Godhead. He didn't say a whole lot about it. But one day he asked Peter, says, "Who do men say that I? Who do men say I am? What do they say about me?"
Yeah.
And well, Peter and the apostles said, "Well, some says you're John. Some says you're Elijah. Some says you're that prophet. Some says this, and some says that." Well, Jesus looked and said, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the Living God." Hey. You know. So that's the way revelation comes. It comes by the Spirit of God. And again, it doesn't mean us ministers so well to come that way. We don't have to study anything. We study to show ourselves approval. We work my needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But we got to know where it's coming from. If I say something that helps you, amen, amen, and it's a revelation revealed. It's God doing the revealing, and I'm just a pipeline He's using to pour the water through. Amen. Praise God. So knowing what God has given us, and knowing what to claim, and knowing what to let go, knowing when to stand up and take a stand, and knowing when to let it go. See, that's wisdom. Because when Jesus was here, many times He went about, and they would come to Him, and they'd try to ask Him some tricky question that no doubt He could answer with great wisdom. But you know what the Bible said He did? Many times He answered them not a word. Another time He would ask them one, like on John. What was the baptism of John? He turned around and asked them a question, you know. He didn't fuss with them. He didn't argue with them. And he just knew His place.
Yeah.
We've heard many, many times saying about, I heard Brother Brown say once about, he went and visited a steel mill. And they'd grind them shavings off with the bore holes in the steel, and all over the floor I was shaving. But ever so often they'd have a big magnet, they would bring it down through.
Right.
And every little piece of steel would jump off the floor and hook to that magnet. But he said the same thing, those aluminum laying there. It went right over top the aluminum, didn't pick up a single shaving.
That's right.
Because the aluminum wasn't magnetized to the message.
Yeah.
Amen. It wasn't magnetized to the steel. And this message, sometimes it don't do one thing for a lot of folks. But don't worry about it. Because we're not the one that call. We're not the one that predestinate. We're not the one, but everyone that's called, they're going to see it. Amen. Back in the church age, it used to be whosoever will. Because we were gathering in wheat and tare, you know. We were gathering everything, all kind of fish in the basket. We cast the net out and we were pulling in. But when we got on the shore, the fishermen sat down and began to separate the fish from the tadpoles and all that. See, the tadpole was whosoever will. You know. Amen. But that fish was predestinated. It went into the basket. The tadpole went back, you know. Amen. So we're coming in an hour when we don't meddle. Don't you meddle with them, he said. God says, you're taking it now, after 40 years, after your wilderness journey, I'm going to give you the land. But I said, there's some people over there you're going to have to pass by. You're going to have to deal with. They're going to be there and they're not going to go away. He said, and when you start passing by, don't you fuss with them. Don't you get your spirit all disturbed, your mind all upset and all troubled and wanting to pull your hair out because you've tried to be a witness for Jesus and nobody wanted it. Huh? Sometimes we got no business meddling to begin with. Huh? Is there a reception? Is there something on the other end? Amen. If there's something on the other end drawing, then just pour it on. As God would lead. Amen. But if not, just God bless you. Like I did on the one said, I got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost because they were in a service and I preached water baptism in the name of Jesus. So they said, guess what? I was baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost this week. I said, that is wonderful. I'm proud of you, brother. You know. Because had he have got baptized in the name, like he said, it would have been something great. If he didn't get baptized in the name, it's his fault. He's the one that said he got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. I didn't. Amen. If he got baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, it would be the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Father's not a name, Son's not a name, Holy Ghost's not a name. Yeah. Amen. Is that right? Okay, I'm getting along here. All right, meddle not. Don't you meddle with Esau now. I gave him the land. Verse 6, you shall buy meat of them for money that you may eat. Buy meat from them that you may eat, and ye shall also buy water of them for the money that you may drink. For the Lord thy God has blessed thee in all thy works, all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through the great wilderness. He knows we've just come out of seven church ages. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with thee. Thou hast not lied. When we passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, and watch. He's calling Esau brethren. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. How about it, folks?
Right.
Esau weren't part of the group. Esau weren't even going to get in the land of Canaan. But God called them brethren. When you pass by your brethren, Esau. Amen. Some of those folks are brethren because you read in Revelation chapter 7 again, they're praising God, they're before the throne of God, they're serving God day and night, you know.
Amen.
And they're our brethren. They're just not enlightened. And it's not their fault many times. It's what God has ordained them to do and what God's ordained you to do. Therefore, if God's ordained you to see further and more, don't let that knowledge you have cause you to be haughty or high-minded or puffed up. Some people get a little knowledge to get puffed up.
Right.
Hallelujah, I can explain to God here. Hallelujah, I know about the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah, I know God sent a prophet. You little people don't know nothing. Yeah, you're headed for a fall.
Right.
Yeah, if you are a child of God, God's going to work you over real good. Amen. So if we get puffed up and start trying to convert the world and trying to argue with this church and argue with that church and all that, amen, then God liable let one of them come that has enough knowledge to put you to shame.
Uh-huh.
And cause you to drop your head and say, I don't understand. You had no business doing what you did to start with.
Uh-huh.
See? Amen. Be a Christian. Be salty.
Yeah.
Amen. And what God's give you, just rejoice in it. And if someone wants to share in those things that God give you, then be more than happy to share with them. Amen. But they say, hey, Hey, I don't want that. What have you got I don't want? Then don't try to catch your pearls where they don't need to be. Amen. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
All right. He's saying here, now Esau, your brethren, when you pass through, God gave the land to Esau. And here's another one here, verse 9. It says, and the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites. Huh? Neither contend with them in battle. Oh, a lot of people like to do battle, don't they? A lot of people just like to get in a good fight or a good argument. Huh? Come on. Well, God said, don't distress the Moabites and don't fight with them.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay, I'm not going to attempt to show you which one of those are the Moabites and which one's Esau over in the Middle East. And I probably could if I took the time to check it out and so on, but that's not the point here. Amen. God gave Moabites some, and because of Lot. See? God gave some land. It'll keep your hands off. Don't matter how many jet planes Israel got, how much war material they got, and how good their fighters are, and how good they can fly, and that great thing did flew into Antibes, the airport there, and rescued those hostages, and the things they do miracles almost, with planes and so on and so forth. But let them keep their hands off of what God didn't give them. Don't matter how good the planes, rockets, or how good the fighting men they got, they'll get defeated if they try to take something God didn't give them. Amen? Now watch what God says here. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto me, distress not the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle, for I will not give thee their land for a possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. Now, brothers and sisters, that should tell us something. Claiming what God gave us and what He didn't give us, don't claim.
Yeah.
Amen? God didn't give us the Trinity Station.
Yeah. Right.
Amen? We're not going to try to take it over.
Yeah.
Well, if God gives us a little radio time or something where we can preach this gospel, we feel like, then go do it. See? Amen. But leave them alone. Let them do their work. Amen. Let them hold their garden. Amen. What was that brother told you, George, about Ben? Let Ben pick his chicken, I'll pick mine something. Oh, man. Amen. Sometimes we let them pick their chicken. And we don't contend with them. We don't fuss with them. We don't argue with them. That's what God did. Amen. That's what God's Word said. Now, God's promised you perfection. He's promised to give you the mind of Christ. Amen. But He's given them many manifestations, many miracles, and He's given them a gospel, although it don't come as far as what you've got, God. Amen. And He'll give them miracles because He wants to attract a certain element of people to use later. Where many times the miracle is not prevalent among us like it is then. But we don't fuss with them, we don't fight with them or anything. Amen. We just praise God that God is in control. Hallelujah, and I praise God that He has given us a message. And I believe with all my heart we have a fivefold ministry. Just exactly fulfilling the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and it's going to lead a group of people to perfection. It's going to cause a group of people to be in one mind, one accord. Now, God gave us a spot of land in the Word of God. Ain't nobody going to get it but us. They can't get it. They can quote scriptures from it, but they can't get it. Amen. He gave us an apostle, a Gentile man named Paul. That basically, let me say this first so you understand, so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I believe every bit of this is the Word of God. Amen. It's just like a big road map. We got a lot of different states at home. And if I was going to West Virginia, and that's a place I go preach quite a bit, I wouldn't get the road map for the Washington State and start looking in Washington State how to get to West Virginia. I'd turn to the place on my map where it says West Virginia. And I'd read those maps. And when I got, I'd know exactly where I was going. I'd never learned how to get through West Virginia studying the map of Washington State or the state of Oregon or somewhere like that. I have to study the map that deals with the state that I'm going to.
Right.
Amen. Now, if we'll read the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, Paul kept telling us there how God would deal with the Gentiles. The Gentiles would hear the voice. And Paul spoke that I am the apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. And in the Galatians chapter 2, Paul said, as the gospel to the uncircumcised was given to me, the gospel of the circumcised was given to Peter, you know. Which Peter landed towards the Jews. He was the main one in the Jewish realm, and they rallied to him, but they wanted to kill Paul every time he got around. The Jews did. But that was a bunch of Gentiles that rallied to him. And he's the one brought these great truths of one mind, one accord. He's the one brought the great truth of the translation. He's the one brought the great truth of having the mind of Christ. He's the one that brought the great truth of being baptized into the body. So there's a special portion of the Word of God that has many great nuggets for the Gentile bride at the end time as we're about to possess the land. God bless you, Brother Ken.
Bless you, Brother
Ben. All right. You take that. God bless you.
Amen. Everybody can say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank the Lord for the good message. I think it's a simple message that taking types from the scriptures. I think simple messages are usually taken from types of the Bible. I think that makes everything so simple to understand.